Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Free speech lives here with Don Sensland, 10 till noon on Odyssey's number one talk station, 1210 WPHT.
A very busy day on Capitol Hill yesterday, as we've been talking about, with President Trump not expected to hold that news conference that he did about artificial intelligence, signing that executive order, really going through AI, and then, of course, that congressional ball last night with the First Lady. But it was a pretty busy day, and we want to follow what happened in the healthcare battle and showdown, if you will, because they were supposed to get this done by now and are supposed to get it done by the end of the year. So as we come in with Dr. Miriam Mass, I just want to look at the scoreboard here as far as how everybody voted on our lawmakers on ACA, Affordable Care Act subsidies, basically a bailout for a broke system, if you will, that we, the people, we've been paying for this. We've been bailing it out, our tax dollars. Pennsylvania's U.S. Senators Fetterman and McCormick, as you know, McCormick, a Republican, Fetterman, a Democrat, voting pretty much along party lines on recent federal measures to extend those Affordable Care Act, the premium tax credits, which failed. And looking at how everybody voted, I know Dom was calling out Van Drew as well, criticizing him. And I believe, even though Dr. Mass and many others have begged on the House side of things, as far as Congressman Fitzpatrick, to please, please make this right. So I just was looking at the scoreboard. We'll try to weave that news in as well. But let's bring in our very own Dr. Miriam Mass, who was there and fighting for all of us and fighting for better health care, fighting for transparency. Congratulations. A great day, Dr. Mass. And we all felt like, you know, we were living vicariously through you. So thank you for all you're doing to fight for more affordable health care and for better quality, higher quality health care. How are you, my friend?
I'm kind of on a high. It's sort of like, you know what it's a high of? It's a high of feeling like people are starting to listen to we the people and starting to ignore the voices of the big corporations. Look, I would like zero subsidies to be going to insurers, because these subsidies are all flowing direct to the insurers. We're going to have to unwind a portion of those subsidies. The fight is over the enhanced tax credit subsidies that came with the COVID bills that were passed by Democrats, and the subsidies were supposed to expire in 2025. COVID is over. I don't have a crystal ball. I always tell my patients, I'm missing the magic wand. I'm missing the crystal ball. I don't know what will happen. I do think that we are in a great position because people are paying attention to healthcare. The American public they're like a toddler. You know how toddlers got a sponge for language? Mm-hmm. The American people are like a sponge for figuring out, wow, this is how healthcare works. So yesterday on the Hill, I was honored to be on the lawn of the U.S. Capitol.
And we're showing standing. The video. We're showing the video.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Yes, I was standing with Chairman Comer of the Oversight Committee. It's always a nice thing to stand with Comer. And I stood with Representative Auchincloss from Massachusetts and Diana Harshberger, a pharmacist from Georgia, Buddy Carter.
Group.
Yeah, bipartisan. Sorry, Diana was from Tennessee. She's a pharmacist. Another pharmacist, Buddy Carter from Georgia, who has a powerful voice, 11 years. Part of why he came to Capitol Hill was to try to reform. Rashida Tlaib, right in front of me, you know. Man, she has great hair. I mean, I kind of wanted to pet it, but I didn't. Sanford Bishop, and he's a Democrat from a very rural district in Georgia. And this was the launch of the Pharmacists Fight Back Act. And Representative Carter, who has probably the strongest voice in all of Congress on PBMs, stood in front of everyone and said, this bill, the Pharmacists Fight Back Act, is the most muscular of all of the PBM reform bills. That's powerful stuff. And I was honored to be the only physician speaking. It was lawmakers. It was independent pharmacists. And they embraced me to come and speak. These independent pharmacists, they set up the press conference, helped write the bill. These are some righteous people. They came from 22 states across our nation, plus D.C. They run businesses, mom and pop pharmacies. One of them from Arkansas announced that he will be, he drove back last night to Arkansas, can't afford a flight, and he announced to everyone that his pharmacy today will be the last day. His father started the pharmacy. He's a pharmacist. His father's a pharmacist. They'll work together side by side in their small rural community. And for our Bucks County people in Montgomery County and Philadelphia County, understand something. There are places across our nation where patients have to drive an hour to see a physician. They are patients that have a lot of problems, and maybe they don't have enough time with the physician because we've talked about how there's only 7 minutes in a sick visit anymore. And then they go back and they go to pick up the prescription. And you know who they go to? They go to their small independent pharmacy. Mm-hmm. And that's where they get a lot of advice about their medication and the side effects. And these are people that are arm in arm with what I do as a physician. Pharmaceuticals are not always our answer, but when we need them to be there. And we don't need a parasitic, siphoning middleman pulling money out of the pockets of America. And those middlemen are owned by the insurance companies. And the way I look at it, you know how, like, a few years back, we were battling terrorists by defunding the terrorists? Mm-hmm. Defund the PBMs, defund the insurance companies.
So in this one, I mean, your message is crystal clear. It's a great message. And we just were showing video of you speaking there and who was with you. And I just want to point out somebody, and we played part of a news package, but Bill Schmicknecht, who's the father, yes, of the asthmatic son who just tragically, you know, because of this very issue that you're talking about, the PBMs changed up and he couldn't get his regular inhaler and their son died. Which is, you know, I mean, I can't even wrap my brain around that. I saw that you were there with him. I do want to get into the factoids of what's going on, but just because you were there, what was that like? Can you just take us through the emotion of the moment? You're there. There are all these people from all walks of life. And I mean, you're obviously a local physician and pediatrician coming from a medical background, but there were parents like that grieving. There were all these different people from, like you said, small pharmacies and just supporting this. What was it like? And just paint that picture for us, if you would.
Well, I met Bill the night before the press conference, and thank God that I did, because I knew I would cry like a baby when I met Bill. I've been trying to get good PBM reform over the line since 2018. It's not about me. It's about Bill and the patients. But I felt like I failed Bill, because if we had gotten this done before, maybe Cole would still be alive. Maybe Bill would not have spent his second Thanksgiving without his son, wouldn't be facing another Christmas without 22-year-old Cole. You know, Dawn, you know how old my children are. I know how old yours are. Yeah. I just think, how do you face Christmas without your child? How do you face the rest of forever without your child? I know people that do so. But when it was preventable, and some big corporate suit made a decision, made money off of that decision, and just traipses off to sleep on their satin sheets. Yeah. And he couldn't have been nicer. I mean, he was like, he just let me cry. I'm so embarrassed, right? Maybe he's cried enough tears already. He came to the press conference the next day. He spoke last year in support of PBM reform. There were others that were there. So tomorrow, I believe, or soon after, a piece will come out in the Bucks Independence about the press conference and the words I spoke. I spoke of a young woman with multiple sclerosis. Her mother showed up. I knew her mother was coming. Her mother, smart woman. She had a big poster and, you know, pointed out, this is my son, you know, or sorry, my daughter, Tara, victim of the PBMs. And, you know, when I saw her poster, I asked them, I asked Representative Auchincloss and Representative Comer and the press conference people, can she stand next to me when I talk? Mm-hmm. You know, so she did. And I had very short remarks. There was a sea of pharmacists behind us. The pharmacists who spoke all had personal stories, talking about the patients that they pull through mm-hmm. their daily existence with their chronic diseases. One pharmacist in Sanford Bishop's district, Sanford Bishop is a Democrat from rural Georgia. Mm-hmm. This one wonderful pharmacist, Nikki Bryant, talked about how her pharmacy, she opened up a coffee shop and a bakery just to keep things going. She's waking up at 4 a.m. and rolling out Southern biscuits. Oh. And, you know, like, I mean, people were like, I'd like to come get some biscuits. I think I'd like to go visit the pharmacy.
So let's talk about the bottom line with this. 24 million people have their health insurance through ACA or the Obamacare. There's a deadline with this. Mm-hmm. Subsidies expire January 1st. And so what happened yesterday, senators rejected both the bill by Democrats to extend those subsidies that we've been paying for. We the people, we've been paying for this, right, all this time. They want to extend this and have us bail out Affordable Care Act, basically, for three more years. Republicans says no, we're not going to do that. And then the Republican proposal to create the new health savings account that you were referring to for Americans earning less than, you know, the under the federal poverty level, et cetera. That one, the Republican-backed plan, that failed 51-48. So four Republicans, Susan Collins, Josh Hawley, Dan Sullivan, Lisa Murkowski, they voted for the bill for Democrats on that one. So nothing passed, in other words. They got nothing done.
Right.
So
right.
Here we
well,
are.
Well, we're kind of, aren't we used to December?
Yeah.
what would you call it? Shenanigans?
Yeah.
You know, because, and darn it, like last December, I think I tweeted out that I was putting on my Google Calendar, which was in part created by Arthi Martino, a brilliant Google engineer. Love Arthi. And good friend. I put on my Google Calendar that in August, I wanted to remind them to get this healthcare stuff done in August and not December. And I guess I didn't open up my calendar on August 1st.
Well, you put it on yours. They didn't get it on theirs, I guess. They didn't get
the
memo.
Yeah, that was the problem. They didn't get the memo. I did send it to a couple people. So as far as the Democrat plan, even three more years, no thank you. I mean, this is crazy. This is money going directly to your insurers. And by the way, we're not even talking about all of the people that get ACA subsidies. We're only talking about the people that got added to the usual ACA subsidies, the ones that were added during the pandemic. I think it's about 6% mm-hmm. of all of those receiving subsidies. And they had increased it to 400% of the poverty line. But there's some great stuff out there, some really great data pointing out that there's a lot of people collecting those subsidies fraudulently.
Yes.
Either they're already on Medicaid, and they're double dipping, or there's some slick insurance broker that signs them up. Sometimes they don't even know that they're signed up. They're called phantom enrollees. Brian Blaze talks about this. Guy Bai talks about this. They're two really bright economists, and those guys can do the math. And I say, math, baby, math, you know, yes. Like let's make America count up their dollars, because people who are taking these subsidies fraudulently, no more of that. And I think that, you know, there's some that are increasing the poverty line so that more people can get subsidies. No, thank you. While insurance is expensive, there's other options. I have friends texting me and they're like, what else could we do? And I say, hey, talk to this person. They have a short-term plan, like a short-term limited duration plan that you could get on for a year and not have to be paying these gigantic premiums, which are, you know, collect the premium and they have your money, and then they're not paying for what you need. I mean, that's what's going on with a lot of these patients, that they think that, okay, I'm covered, but then they're not covered.
By the way, you had, I texted you about the February thing. You mentioned Arty and you reminded me of something. But mm-hmm. What's the bottom line with this? I know that Caroline Leavitt yesterday was asked about this. She said the Trump administration, the president, they're trying to brainstorm and come up with some ways to lower this and deal with this back and forth. I think that Republicans are very nervous that this will crush them coming, you know, in the midterms. And so, I don't know what's going to happen. Do you have a sense of what might happen? Because we have Hanukkah starting sundown Sunday. We have Christmas coming up. They're going on break. This thing is supposed to get done by the first.
Mm-hmm. So my sense being in D.C. and healthcare right now feels like there's a dam and there's a million little holes in the dam and the water is seeping through and it feels like it's about to break. Now, whoever comes up with a plan for We the People, mm-hmm. I personally think will be rewarded. And the plan that We the People want and need is something that reduces their costs. If everyone, the people who want to run around and say, let's get you covered, are feeding the beast of the insurance company. A few minutes ago, I said, if you want to, I look upon these people as a brand of domestic terrorists, right? If you want to take away the power of the terrorists, you defund them. So take away the money flowing to insurance companies and the pharmacy benefit managers they own. Give us good, solid PBM reform. Give us transparency so we can take away the money. Give us options that open up a landscape of choices because, you know, healthcare is personal. We don't want a one size fits all plan. I believe, I think it was Mike, the Speaker of the House.
Mike Johnson.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. I got in last night late. I got up this morning early. Yes. Mike Johnson, I think put up something that the Republican plan that they're looking at mm-hmm. is going to increase healthcare savings accounts, is going to increase some of the other options like cost sharing plans. It looks like they're in their plan looking at the things that I've been writing about for the last several weeks. It's almost as though these people are like listening to me.
Good.
Yeah. I know they're talking about
a debt commission, the Medicaid, Medicare. Mm-hmm. There's so much to go through with this.
Physician-owned hospital, transparency, site neutral. It's all being mentioned. And, you know, I'm hitting on the PBMs, but now you have these lawmakers from the Republican caucus. They're hitting on the big overpriced hospitals. We need hospitals. Mark my words. We need hospitals.
Yes.
I'm not looking to get rid of hospitals, but we need hospitals to be cost effective for the American people. And we're tired of paying for $33 million executive package salaries.
Amen.
Enough.
Dr. Mary Mass, until next time, we love you and we appreciate you. Great job yesterday. And we'll talk soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Dawn. Merry Christmas.
You
too.
Yeah, it's amazing. The holidays. I'm not ready. I don't know about everybody else, but I am not ready.
Did you get your gifts yet?
Oh, my gosh.
No, not at all.
And then I realized something that I thought that I sent you and Maisie, it came back that you guys already had it. So I'm so sorry.
I don't know what's going on there. I had to talk to you off air about that because we've been kind of monitoring something and we don't know what's going on. So
these stupid sites.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Like that you think that you register and it should make life easier. And I got this thing. I was like, oh, they never got that. And so I'm sorry.
I got to send that to Maisie. She's like, do you want to bring it up with Dawn? Or?
Yeah, it's like.
Okay, yeah. It's some kind of shipping snafu.
The worst. I don't know.
And
so it's just highly. It was a long time. It was like a long time ago. So I don't. We have to complain.
We never received it. We're like, yeah, it says she got it, but so I don't know if it was on back order. Or
and then they refund call. Instead of just get it to them. Then they just, you know, cut bait, I guess. I don't know.
I'm playing the breaking news theme, though, Dawn, because just at 10:33, so 20 minutes ago, ABC News headline, growing number of House Republicans sign on to effort to force vote on ACA subsidies, defying Speaker Johnson. ABC News National now picking up this story that we've been covering here on the Dawn Sensland Show now for weeks. But great movement there from Dr. Marion Mass.
Yeah, she did a great job. And I will say that Representative Brian Fitzpatrick in the headlines, to your point, part of exactly what Dan's talking about. You know, Brian, I know. I don't want to hear about it. Pennsylvania Republican introducing a discharge petition. So he's among those trying to force this vote and force Mike Johnson to hold an ACA subsidies vote. So there's a lot of action. I hope they get something done and I hope they do the right thing on behalf of the people. That's the bottom line here and not succumb to the pressure. I certainly am against doing this for 3 more years, subsidizing this nonsense. And there is a lot of fraud that they're finding. So what a hot mess this is. All right. We have to we do have our great mom, Beth Bourne, who's coming up next. I can't wait to talk to her, a mom just fighting. I don't know, for common sense and normalcy in our grade schools and middle schools. We've had her on before, so we'll talk to her. We have Kathy Barnett up ahead. It's a busy day. So much to talk about. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Oh, yeah. Are you done? Are you all decorated? Are you ready for Christmas? We have to talk about that movie.
No,
I am not ready.
Not at all.
A sin. Piazza is always ready, by the way. Remember, today's the last day to stop by any Piazza Auto Group. .com. Check out all the dealerships, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware. Drop off that new unwrapped toy that you're driving around with. Please, please, today's the last day. And this is part of Piazza, of course, partnering with the Salvation Army. They do this every year, and they're so generous, and we love Piazza. So always make sure that you tell them Dawn sent you. And by the way, two things. Beth Bourne, she is born ready and born to fight for the children. Bikini Mom, so-called. She's up ahead. Can't wait to hear what is the latest with this book-reading mom from bikinis to books. You got to hear the whole story. Oh, my gosh.
What audio that was, man.
Woo! Oh. Unbelievable. Great mom. So we'll talk to her. And then the other thing is, I want to see you. Remember, Zioli Live, 3 to 7 today. We'll all be out there for this great event, Craft Hall, here in Philadelphia for Families Behind the Badge, Children's Foundation nonprofit. Stay right there. We're jam-packed.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
An unstoppable mom. New developments in the case of a mom who, you know, that I've interviewed previously a couple months ago. She's fighting for kids and common sense, a mom for liberty. And she's part of a Moms for Liberty. She's actually the chapter chair in her area, in her community there. But remember a couple months ago. And we're so self-conscious anymore, would wear her bikini and bare it all literally to fight for kids. Well, that's what she did to just illustrate what girls have to go through. And this was at a school board meeting as she had a bikini on and she had her swimsuit on underneath her clothes and was testifying as they were taking some testimony from parents who were talking about whether or not they should allow biological boys, you know, and we're just showing this.
The video, you just see the board just clear out of the room. They can't deal with it, but the kids have to deal with it, right?
You know, she's rocking that bikini. I'm just going to say, I would be like, self-conscious. I'm sure, it's makes you a little nervous, but she's bearing it all, literally, for the kids. But there she is at the podium, taking off the clothes to illustrate what a girl has to go through in a locker room in front of a biological boy. So Beth Bourne, take a victory lap. We love you. We support you. And man, I mean, you are just fighting for kids and common sense. Really appreciate you. Great to have you here this morning.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here.
So we want to play a little snippet of what you did, recently and what happened,
right?
Because now your fight. So in that one, you were trying to illustrate for the school board what a girl might feel like as she's seriously in a locker room and there's a boy and kids are self-conscious, right? Not just moms, right? And not the grown-ups. But now you're trying to illustrate what books are in the libraries, mm-hmm, and what kids are exposed to. I just want to point out for you, my boss, our brand manager, Greg Stocker, earlier this morning, he and our executive producer, Dan Borowski, who you know, to air part of what you're, and we're going to air this right now, but to air this, our biggity big, manager actually had to go up the food chain, if you will, in management with Dan Borowski, our executive producer, to make sure what they could air of you reading a children's book.
Line by line.
Because the FCC would slap us with a minimum $500,000 fine, could pull us off the air here in Philadelphia if we aired you reading that children's book. So listen to what, so just listen to what Dan and Greg had to do to comply with the FCC. I want everybody to listen to this. This complies with the FCC. Listen in.
Let's go on to this page. You can look in your packet. This page here talks about, play. It says, and don't forget, everybody has a butt. After the train has left the station, so to speak, and you've had a chance to wash or use the back there.
All right, I'm just going to pause right there. YouTube.com/@WPHT. You can see the words that are being used, but I did actually have to censor because those black bars were added by me, myself, and I, because those are actual phallic images.
We could be pulled off the air. We could face a minimum $500,000 fine, Beth. And this is a book that is accessible in at least, you know, the Davis School area and California, and I think across the country. I think this is unfortunately, symptomatic of what's going on. So can you just take us through what the battle is and where you stand? I would think any parent would just say, OMG, I'm horrified by this. What reaction are you getting?
Well, you know, 2 years ago, we held a meeting at the library, and we called it curating books that are appropriate for children, right? So we're saying we're not trying to ban these books, but we want to curate them for the right age. And that, you know, if you want a book that's got sexually explicit content that encourages children to look at pornography, it's probably a book that you should be purchasing with your own money, not taxpayers' money, and not being placed in the teen or children's section of the library. So that's kind of been our message from the beginning. But the American Library Association, you know, they really push this idea of children should read banned books. And, you know, this is kind of celebrating across the U.S. Banned Book Week. Mm-hmm. And they list the books like the ones I showed, you know, on Tuesday at the Yolo County Board of Supervisors meeting. The idea that parents like me are trying to ban books, it's not because we don't want people to be able to purchase the books they want, but you can't put this kind of content that's so sexually explicit and really encouraging kids to do dangerous acts like getting on online porn sites. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of people thanking me, but, you know, I would say this, I don't know what you want to call it, the far left. You could hear them at the meeting. They're coughing and they're sneezing and they're coming up behind me and just trying to make me feel like I'm saying something that's wrong. And I know it's not.
Yeah.
But in my heart, I know, you know, what I'm speaking is protecting kids.
Well, and I forgive me for those of you who were watching earlier this morning, but I told the story that, you know, in some of these, I had conversations with my kids, my teenage son, in high school, he just started college, but I had said to him, why, you know, is this, do you ever have any of this stuff? Have you ever had, you know, heard of this? And he said, well, no, not, I mean, they went to private Catholic, private Christian schools up through eighth grade. But then, so he said, no, he goes, Mom, this is because they want to get them young. They want to influence kids because that's your first like sexual image or whatever, that then that's in your brain of that's what's normal or good or whatever. And so part of this, to me, it's just an extension of this whole conversation, Beth Bourne, that we've had, which is indoctrination of kids. And it's just such a violation of their innocence. But also, I would imagine a lot of parents could say, well, this right here, this is, if you want to talk about religious freedom rights, I imagine that there are a lot of people who have faith, who say this is against my faith. You're violating my family's faith by putting this in my kid's face.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I don't think people realize they start the books, you know, really young books. There's 215 books just on transgender ideology at our Davis Library. And the books start with these picture books, you know, for real young kids on like Jazz Jennings and using pronouns. And this book really encourages kids to allow
whatever sex to use your bathroom. So, preschool, let the boys use the girls' bathroom. So yeah, they're just starting really young and they're trying to lump it all together under being inclusive and kind, but you're really destabilizing children and teaching girls not to stand up for themselves with some of this stuff and to allow predatory behavior between adults and kids. So I just like to call it out, and I'm glad I used specific wording from the book. And I knew that my First Amendment rights allowed me to do that. And since we'd already won a lawsuit against Yolo County, the library, 2 years ago, Alliance Defending Freedom represented me and four other women. I knew that the attorney was well versed in First Amendment rights, so I just shared the book.
Yeah, and I'm looking up, by the way, California's reading proficiency, for example.
Yeah.
The scores for 2024, only 29% of fourth graders were
Wow.
proficient
You
in
said, wait,
reading.
you said
20,
29?
29%.
Hey, can I just echo that
Yeah.
statement too? Because B. Dudley over on YouTube says it's pretty sick that these things are an issue in these schools. Not life skills, not STEM,
Yeah.
not home ec, not woodworking, welding, or robotics.
Thank
Just an
you.
absolute waste of these kids' times as well.
Yeah.
But it shows you where their priorities are. You know what I mean? That when I'm looking at all the test scores, widening gaps, early literacy, to your point, Dan, and thank you to our great YouTube law audience and our listeners, 855-839-1210. For those of you talking about this, they're not worried about the widening gap or the proficient, the insufficiencies of these
Right.
children who can't read or do math or STEM. This is the priority. And that really, to me, that's a whole other layer of concern.
Exactly.
So,
Yeah, and yeah, I think when you focus on this kind of like content, you're going to have kids feeling anxious and depressed and scared and so you have this mental illness issue that's coming up in our elementary, middle, high schools with kids. But a lot of it is just what are the teachers and the librarians and the school counselors pushing towards kids? It's things that don't make you feel safe in your body, don't make you want to become an adult woman or adult man, right? It's a very scary time.
And I also saw that you put out on social media, Beth, that the publisher, Random House Children's Books, that in this book that you just read,
Right.
a little caption in there that Random House Children's Books supports the First Amendment and celebrates the right to read. So that's what they
Yes.
wrote in the foreword of this book.
Right.
And it's
Yeah.
like, oh,
Hey, Beth,
wow.
can I ask you, because on video, I isolated this moment when you're starting to
Right.
read and a woman passes and does like a weird, hold on.
Whole ideology in the book. So this
You see a woman
imagery,
walk up.
it says, depending on what hormones you take while you're growing up, you
Right.
can become a man, you can see with full breasts and a penis and a scrotum, or you can be a woman
So
here
watched on.
with excuse me, I'm sorry.
Double mastectomy scars. Timer.
What the heck was that?
She was just trying to interrupt you.
Right.
Or
And later on, you can hear her doing her fake sneezes and more fake coughing. So I had to look it up, her up, because I was curious, who is this person? Anyway, she's a local, lives not too far from me, but she ran, I think, for Yolo County Board of Supervisors. She's affiliated with a Democratic Socialist group here in our community. So, in one of these far left wackos, but that's the response, right? Instead of just letting me have my 2 minutes of my speech, she's trying to interrupt it and letting everybody in the audience know that I'm this bad person for reading directly from these children's YA books in our library.
And so, what do you see as the remedy here other than, school choice? But I just, to me, I look at this and I say, what in God's name is going on? What parent could approve of that book being read to their child or easily accessible to their child? And also,
Right.
the other question I'll just ask both at once is that, these books, you said there were hundreds. I think they create a situation where if there's a kid who's maybe in the gay or whatever community, that these books, I would say, have the opposite effect, could create fodder for making fun of those kids. You could play
Yeah.
that both ways. There are so many reasons why I just think, why? Just why?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I just have to point out this is the sign in front of the library, women's bathroom. It says gender diversity is welcome. Please use the restroom that best fits your identity. So this is in that same library, and it's telling, the patrons at the library that if you're a man and you feel comfortable using the women's bathroom because that's your identity, you're welcome in there. So to me, that the whole idea of like, all safeguards are off, right? This whole movement is about allowing, I don't know, perverted or people to access children and women in any way they want to. And I just don't know why the left is celebrating this instead of like really thinking about what's happening in our schools and libraries. They've kind of lost their minds, right? I can't believe more people aren't speaking out, but I think we've been told that you're not kind or inclusive
No.
if you question this.
No,
And
and
I think people don't want to see it. Like it's so disgusting. You just don't even want to go into the library and ask the librarian, "Can I see these books?" So that's the other part.
And that's a piece of what you're doing, and we appreciate you highlighting this. It's just sickening and unfortunate, but everybody needs to be aware of what's going on. It's happening here in Pennsylvania. I know it's happening
Right.
in Chester County and Bucks and excuse me, in Montgomery County as well. And so it's not just the West Coast, Beth, and what you're
It's so
highlighting
true.
is so
Yeah.
important.
Sue says, "You're truly terrific, Beth. You got so much support from her. As a dad of a daughter from Coal Region says, thank you, Beth. Just amazing stuff that you do. So thank you. Thank you."
Beth Bourne, you're the best. We appreciate you.
Thank you. It's really nice to hear from you.
You have our support, across the country. Beth Bourne, you're the best. Thank
Okay.
you.
Thanks, Beth.
Bye. Thank you.
Until next time. But yeah, she's a fighter, mom for liberty, and that's just it. She's trying to make all of us aware, not just her own district. All right, we have, speaking of awesome moms, my friend Kathy Barnett. We have so much to talk about and catch up on. So Kathy Barnett is up next, and wow, you won't believe, oh my goodness, she has been setting off some fireworks on some national shows. So we'll catch up with
Can I
Kathy.
just put it out there real quick?
Yes.
At Born underscore Beth two
Thank you.
three four five. At Born underscore Beth 2345.
Please
She's
follow
developed a
her.
great Twitter following because of her stuff that she's doing at these school board meetings. So follow, interact
Thanks,
with
Dan.
her. At Born underscore Beth 2345.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on demand. On demand.
I asked you to be ashamed of
No,
yourself.
you
You've
should
been
be,
around long enough
Kathy.
to know
Kathy, you should be
that
ashamed.
their racism
Really?
is not. Look. Look,
Hold up,
there are
hold up. Kathy.
1.4 million
Kathy.
black people. There are
Kathy.
1 point, look, you care about black people, right? So allow me to say this. There are 1.4 million black people in the state of Pennsylvania. Hair racism affects 916 of them. What about the other 1.3 million of us who are sending our children to failing schools? The District of Pennsylvania, it ranks at 454th out of 499. That is what I care about. What I also
Kathy's very
care about.
interesting.
Oh, Kathy is always interesting. That's Kathy just setting straight Roland Martin on his show, talking about obviously Governor Shapiro and Pennsylvania's idea about, so-called hair discrimination, basically. Kathy Barnett, you are on fire, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me on, Don. And it's not just Josh Shapiro's opinion about it. This man has now signed it into our Pennsylvania Human Rights Act. So now, and it's very subjective, because what if I'm a black woman with black textured hair, and this is what this bill so-called tries to protect? And what if you, as a white person, comes up, says, "Oh, wow, your hair is, unique and different," and you're like, "Wow, like it's different than my hair." That could be enough, Dawn, because it's really subjective. Because you may be giving it to me as a compliment, but I may be feeling insecure about myself and say, "Wow, she just acknowledged my hair," and I feel some kind of way about it. That is what Governor Shapiro just signed into law.
Yeah, and the Crown Act, the thing about this is obviously pandering because it prohibits discrimination. We already have a ton of laws statewide, locally, federally that ban discrimination is illegal. It's already illegal. So, you know, to your point, and I think the point that you went on to make to him was talking about the economy, and, you know, you could go on about education, but it's just, I don't know. I think, I just wonder if we can now, can we write it off? Can we write off getting our hair done? You know what I mean?
Don, I mean, you know, and one of the things, I mean, this, the first question he asked me, it went downhill from there. So mm-hmm. it didn't get much better. And I knew, I mean, if you know anything about Roland Martin, he's the biggest, blackest grifter out there. No love for the black community, but he has hundreds of thousands of people who listen to him. Mm-hmm. And as I was saying to my mother, who was asking me, why do you go on these shows? And I'm like, Mom, this is a dark place. And if people who have some sense of understanding about what's going on, if we aren't willing to walk into these dark places and shine whatever amount of light we have, mm-hmm. then it will remain dark. And this particular bill in 2022, exactly 916 people filed a complaint under so-called hair racism. 916. Pennsylvania is a state of roughly 13 million people. So this bill, all the energy, all the time, all the conversation they put into passing this bill, it doesn't impact 100% of us. It doesn't even impact 10% of us. It impacts 0.00007% of us. And so my question is, okay, this bill impacts less than 1,000 black people. There are 1.4 million black people in the state of Pennsylvania. What happens to the other 1.3 million of us who are dealing with real problems like violent crimes and fentanyl, all of these illegals, horrible school districts, high gas prices, can't afford a home or your mm-hmm. rent? What happens to the rest of us who are out here living and dealing with very real problems?
Yeah. Amen. I mean, and what does it do? I mean, because I was looking, I thought, well, maybe they're looking at, you know, local businesses, because during the pandemic, we had so many, for example, beauty salons and hair salons, and here in Philadelphia, the same, that were shut down. Does it support, you know, local business people who want to start up a salon, get their salon
nope.
back? Or, you know what I mean? I was looking
nope.
for something like that in there. But, yeah, there's nothing. And so it's like,
you're looking for hope. You're
I know.
So optimistic.
I'm keeping hope
no.
alive.
No. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That could be a cultural appropriation.
Uh-oh.
Trying to keep hope alive.
Watch yourself, though.
Isn't that biblical?
It is. Yes. Sure it is. You know, it's just, you know, I go on. I was on there for like 45 minutes. And one of the other points I brought up is like, black people really should be pissed off by this, because mm-hmm. just a couple of weeks after he signed this so-called Crown Act against hair discrimination bill into law, he goes on to sign the budget for Pennsylvania 2025-2026 state budget. And guess what he does in that? He allocates to himself, to his office, exclusively to his office, $4 million to expand his own digital media operation, including TikTok videos. So Josh Shapiro allocates $4 million in the fiscal year 2025-2026 budget to his own office under this so-called digital experience. He gives himself $4 million and he hands black people political trinkets.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't impact, it doesn't create, it's not a grant for public schools, it's not public safety expense. It doesn't build any infrastructure in predominantly black communities. Nothing for social services are allocated. It's $4 million allocated to Josh Shapiro so that his team can go get social media influencers to help him look cool on TikTok. So he gets real money and we get political trinkets. Everybody should be pissed off mm-hmm. about this.
Yeah. And in fact, yesterday I actually talked to State Senator Kim Ward about that. They have, you know, through a House committee and so on, and Senate committee, I should say, they have issued some subpoenas seeking some of the records that you're talking about, including, you know, all that money, $1 million for his private residence, $23 million for the governor's mansion without any type of transparency or contract type estimates or anything like that. But that's, I believe that's one of the subpoenas that includes that, that questions all of this and wants some transparency on it, to your point. But you're exactly right. I mean, the problem, we're talking about it, but the mainstream media, are they questioning this Crown Act? No, they celebrate it. They celebrate it.
Nope. Yeah. They do, right? As if they won something. And I saw this video, Josh Shapiro, he went into the black side of Philadelphia into a beauty salon, probably the first time he's ever been over there. And they're doing a press conference, got all these black people, all these black women talking about, oh, look, we won. What did you win? It's all optics. There are no structural changes. There are no economic impacts. And yet, in that same area, in that same school district, Philadelphia school district, these same black people are sending their children to a school district that ranks 454th mm-hmm. out of 499 on math proficiency in the state of Pennsylvania. So what have you won exactly? I am so exhausted of the black hustlers and the black grift. It's making all, you know what it does, actually, Dawn, in my view, is that, I mean, I'm a business owner, you're a mm-hmm. business owner, and we sacrifice blood and tears and sweat and money, and we take all the risk to create a business, and now, and we have a particular idea of the kind of experience we want our customers to receive when they walk into our front door. So we have a particular idea of the kind of person we want. And so now you're telling me the hell, fire, and damnation to what you want, Kathy. I know you spent all the money, time, and risk to get this business up, but if I want to come in here with my hair, however I want to wear my hair, you have to accommodate. You know what people are going to do now? They're just going to say, well, how about this? I just don't hire any black people because I don't want to be bothered with the headache. I don't want to have to walk on additional eggshells. I mean, just to own a business here in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. I keep getting letters from my attorney. Oh, you got to fill this form out. You got to fill mm-hmm. that form out. You got to pay this money. You got to, all the hoops and hurdles you have to go through just to own a little business. And now I got to walk on eggshells because God forbid I discriminate against someone and don't even know I'm discriminating against them. I just make a comment. Like, mm-hmm. this is ridiculous. So this actually hurts black people because no one wants to be bothered with black people. People are fatigued of all of this, racism that, mm-hmm. everybody emotions, and now you got to legislate it? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's duplicative of what we already have on the books. And I was even thinking, why don't you make a Crown charter school? You know, like you're saying, a trade school where you're learning like beauty school stuff for high school, and make a Crown beauty school and have kids go for free in high school and have all the other good stuff too, like a brand new beautiful facility.
That?
Anything.
You know what? Malcolm Kenyatta was on this interview as well, and Rowling kept running interference with between Malcolm and myself, because Malcolm was like, it took me 0 seconds to sign, to put my name and vote for this bill. I'm like, great, Kenyatta, but now you represent a school district that is 454th out of 499. What mm-hmm. have you done? Oh, we're doing this, we're doing that. Yeah, but that's not a problem. This Philadelphia school district isn't a problem that became a problem last night. Mm-hmm. This has been for the past several decades, and it's only declining. So you take all this energy and all this effort and running around trying to get the Crown Act passed, but what have you done that has meaningfully impacted black children who are trapped in failing school districts? So I asked him point blank, will you support school choice? And
of course,
Roland Martin interfered in the question so that he never had to answer it. But this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem. We're all getting played. Kathy Barnett, you got a big, what do you have coming up?
Oh, my gosh. What don't I have? I am a little bit of everywhere. I was just on Newsmax yesterday. Woo-hoo. I'm on BBC next week. Again, BBC, this isn't, you know, this isn't me speaking to the choir, but we have to go out and talk to these people. With Seed and Roots, we are going into the Bronx next year.
Wow.
We're going into Jasmine Crockett's backyard next year in late July. So we have a lot of things that we're working on. We just got to take this message. The Republican Party isn't really interested in this message. And so it's really going to come to good people. And I met so many of them, and they voted for me when I ran for U.S. Yes. Senate. It's really about we the people, mm-hmm. Understanding the time that we're living in, not looking to our political figures to be Jesus, because they're not. They're not going to save us. But we can hold their feet to the fire. Make sure we, you know, put things like the Crown Act in front of them and tell them they need to get busy about protecting our rights as American citizens, not to be encumbered by these stupid laws. And we need to go out and support people like myself who are out here doing yes. the hard work, and people like you as well, Don.
Oh, well, Kathy Barnett, I'm sure we'll talk before Christmas. I'm not ready at all, by the way. I'm sure you're all ready. You're way more organized than I am.
No, I'm not.
Well, a very busy Kathy Barnett. We're always following you. We love you. And thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you, Don.
Oh, I love Kathy. I love how she just, you know what I mean? Says it like it is, the best. Busting everybody's chops. It's awesome. And her show this tomorrow, I'm saying this weekend, tomorrow already is Saturday. It's Friday. I can't believe it. Wow. Here we are, this December the 12th.
Yeah. It's going to be just around the corner that you're traveling out to a great new country, too.
Hmm?
So just around the corner, you'll be traveling out to a great new country as well.
That's right. After the holidays, after the Mummer's Day parade, and then springtime. You know what happens this spring? I want you to come away with me. This one is incredible. ConservativeTours.com. Ken Chase, they've outdone themselves. This is stunningly beautiful Portugal, Spain, if you will. So go to conservativetours.com and you can look at this entire tour. I can't wait. 10 days next spring. Come away with me. If you've loved our tour events in Italy, and I know you have, so many of you have already signed up for this. Thank you. I'm so excited. I can't wait. But in this one designed just for you, our Talk Radio 1210 WPHT listeners, this one is incredible. Dining at the wineries, rivaling the best in Europe, private Portuguese escort for the event, along with four-star accommodations. $5,738, yes, that does include your airfare from Philadelphia, the Bellum Tower, Geronimo's Monastery, Alfama's Cobblestone Passages, oh my goodness, and walking past all of those scrumptious, fresh seafood restaurants, Abido's, Fatima, of course, Fatima, the elegance of Coimbra. 888, you have to call now. This is selling up fast. 888-733-9494, conservativetours.com. The beauty of Sintra, Cabo da Roca, Cascais. I'm trying to put it all in here. There's so much that I can't possibly fit everything on the itinerary. So I'm just trying to give some highlights. By the way, Douro Valley, which is the answer to Tuscany, if you will, Portugal's answer to Tuscany. Douro Valley, just stunning. Santiago de Compostela in Spain, drawing those pilgrims in a passionate way. We will discover why together. So join me for the history, the cuisine, and all the camaraderie, honestly, the friendship that we share, the unique beauty of this secret land, small but oh so impressive. I'll see you, Bellum Tower, conservativetours.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
I mean, I warned you all along in the fall, make sure that your HVAC, furnace, everything's tuned up and good to go. But if you've been procrastinating, I know, I can't preach because I'm the biggest procrastinator. I'm not even ready right now. I have not decorated for the holidays yet even.
Yeah,
but
we just pulled out the tree yesterday. Yeah.
But I will tell you, because I got my guys, Marvin E. Cans, they do make it easy. So I did not procrastinate on that kind of stuff, which is really important when you think about keeping warm in this Arctic blast, the wind chill in the teens. So if you have been procrastinating and you're saying, but I don't know who to call, Marvin E. Cans, Mike Hies. They're awesome. And I've told you about the fact that they've, you know, replaced our, you know, now it's over, what, a year and a half. So they replaced our the water heaters. Those blew out. They come. I have the service plan now, so I don't even have to think about it, which is so wonderful. So it's like idiot proof for me that I've got my guys, Marvin E. Cans, every 6 months, change the filters, all that good stuff, make sure everything's good to go. And by the way, that helps lower all the heating bills this time of year. But seriously, I just think the world of my guys, Marvin E. Cans. So if you're looking for somebody, or maybe you realize that your HVAC is kind of on its last leg, or your old furnace, make sure that you replace that old unit with a Trane, T-R-A-N-E, furnace or heat pump. It is hard to stop a Trane, the best, top-notch. Turn to my guys, Marvin E. Cans. They're not going to leave you out in the cold. Marvin E. Cans, KANZE.com, Marvin E. Cans. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
I love Caroline Leavitt. You know, Greg Stocker doesn't play her on the cut sheet.
What? Why?
He doesn't. So,
why not?
So hopefully he's not listening right
now. She's
a
firecracker.
Yeah, so
like
ask Greg. Tell him you want Caroline on the cut sheet. Because she's awesome.
She
right?
Is.
She's amazing. So you think about all of us, we're fighting different illnesses, the vomit virus, the flu, and this and that, and calling in sick a couple times, this and that. Caroline Leavitt clearly has something. She clearly is fighting the same respiratory thing that we've all been fighting. But she's on fire, even when she's sick. There are no sick days with this young lady. She is awesome. And I love Caroline Leavitt. We got to know her on the campaign trail, Trump Force 47, and used to have her on. You know, now she's pretty busy. But listen to her as little snippy. CNN. Listen to this. Oh, she's so snippy. Caroline Leavitt is not having it with Caitlin Collins. This is like a drop mic moment. Had to play it.
Signals in terms of what that looks like. But inflation is down from where it was. As measured by the overall CPI, it has slowed to an average 2.5% pace. This is down from what the president inherited. The president inherited 2.9% in January. Today it's at about 2.5%. So we're trending in the right direction with more to come. And I would remind you, when President Trump left office in his first term, inflation was 1.7%. And the previous administration jacked it up to a record high 9%. So again, in 10 months, the president has clawed us out of this hole. He's kept it low at 2.5%, and we believe that number is going to continue to decline, especially as energy and oil prices continue to decline as well.
Maybe it wasn't high under Biden. They're just saying it's not.
Well, nobody reported on it being high under Biden. My predecessor was standing at this podium, but now you want to ask me a lot of questions about it, which I'm happy to answer.
That's right.
But I will just add,
I'm like diamond and silk. I'll be silk.
On this issue from this press corps than there was.
I miss those too.
In the previous administration said that too. My predecessor stood up at this podium and she said, inflation doesn't exist. She said the border was secure, and people like you just took her at her word, and those were two utter lies. Everything I'm telling you is the truth, backed by real factual data.
That's right.
And you just don't want to report on it because you want to push untrue narratives.
Because you're nasty. That's right. I know. I was thinking about Diamond and Silk. We got to meet her back in the day. They came on the Zioli show when we were on Afternoons with Zioli, and Diamond obviously passed away tragically in January of 2023, but just lovely, lovely ladies. So it did make me think, because I just want to become like a little echo for her, you know, just that's right. You tell her, because they're just so nasty and negative energy. That's right. You tell her. But seriously, Caroline Leavitt, you can hear that she's all nasally, all congested. And what does she do? She just tries to put her in her place. Yeah. I love it.
Are you going to get your gift after the show?
Huh?
You going shopping after the show?
I think I got everything, but I do want to find the pirate hat for Zioli, because he's in the pirate ship at the big event tonight.
That'd be nice.
Right? Because he's up on a stage, and I guess it's a pirate ship.
They're actually being serious about him being from a pirate ship today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's where this is for obviously the Andy Chan holiday party, celebrating his life and actually the music and a lot of fun, but some serious moments too. 100% of the proceeds obviously going to families of the critically injured or the fallen. In this case, as you well know, Andy Chan lost his battle for life after being injured on duty. So, but we're going to be at Craft Hall. Craft Hall has this area where it's just like a pirate ship area for whatever reason. That's where they're putting Scioli.
I love that.
He's on a pirate ship.
I love that.
So I got to find a pirate hat. If anybody knows where one is, we're looking. I'll find it. But he's broadcasting live 3 to 7 and the event 4 to 9. Come on out. Support him, please.
Hey, can I bring up a holiday pet peeve before we get out today?
Do it.
Ella Fitzgerald, all-time great.
Yes.
When you say the word giddy up, is it giddy up or is it giddy yap?
Giddy up.
Yeah, giddy up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not according to Ella Fitzgerald. Oh. And every time I hear this song, it's been played a lot this season.
Yeah.
Listen, she says giddy up, I swear. Giddy up? No, it's giddy up, Ella Fitzgerald.
So. You know what it is?
Get it right. Come on.
Because she wants, it's the music. So she
is
can get away.
Listen, it's listen. Ready?
Giddy up, let's go.
No.
You know,
it's giddy up. Giddy up.
Yeah, but in her voice, she's trying to, ba, 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 giddy up.
She's know, doing she's, her, yeah, the jazz scat, right?
So she's trying to do the app sound. She needed the app.
Johnny Mathis says giddy up too, though. I don't get the.
It's a musical thing.
Is it?
I think it's a musical thing.
You got to pronounce it right, though. Part of being a good musician is
Fitzgerald can,
enunciation.
If she says giddy up, I'm going with yap. Yappity yap. I'm just saying. She's amazing. I love her voice.
Here's another. Okay, a little bit more giddy up.
He does yap.
Yeah, he does up. Okay.
See how lame the yap? I'll be honest. When you compare the two.
You like the yap?
The yap. Giddy yap.
Giddy
it's like,
yap,
it's like
yap.
Sophisticated and yeah. Clear. And the yup is kind of low energy.
Yeah, I guess. But no. I get so frustrated. I point it out to Maisie every time. Every time it comes on, loudest voice, like, "Nini yap, nini yap." Will you shut up?
Isn't it weird? If that were only our problem. If that were, you know what I mean? If that's your biggest
first
issue and complaint in life, life is pretty good.
Problem I have, though, is some cold, drafty windows yes. There.
Wait. Before we go, how's the baby?
It's good, except for these damn cold, drafty windows.
I know.
Keeping her up at night. No, seriously, she's doing fantastic, sleeping throughout most of the night. Smiley, fat baby. She's nice and chubby now.
Good.
Actually getting to the point now where you might have to move her out of a bassinet. She's growing so fast.
Whoa.
Yeah.
New crib.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Dan, I love. Well, Linda Kearns is in here, so I can ask about the baby. She's like, enough about the baby.
Right there, yeah. Shut up.
There's so much going on.
Giddy up.
Oh, by the way, before we, just a second, I just want to mention this, that you know who President Trump today is honoring? The Miracle on Ice U.S. Olympic men's hockey team during the Congressional Medal Act signing. Pretty cool. That's today at the White House. I just want to mention that. 1980.
Wow.
Were you even born?
Nope.
He probably wasn't even born. It's so
nope.
Annoying.
Nope.
Well, we have to, you know who was born? The Chapmans, Mike and Mark Chapman. They're awesome. They do impeccable work. So if you need anything, whether it's a roof or windows or doors, you've heard me talk about them for a decade now, and they do incredible work. And here's the thing, watching the team work in my home, first of all, they're fabulous. They do incredible work, fair, everything's upfront and in writing. But also, they just take such pride. They love their work. You can tell Dan and I, we love our work. When you love your work, what happens? It's high-quality work. You take pride in your work. So this month, Chapman, making it easier than ever to upgrade your home, 24 months, zero interest financing. That's on any project, plus 20% off the siding. So ChapmanWindowsDoors.com, the craftsmanship, the pride they take in their work. And during this holiday season, of course, they wish you a happy Hanukkah coming up next week, a Merry Christmas. But think about Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.